mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 32, where we hear of Jacob wrestling with God. You may be seated. Following December 7th, 1941, it was very easy for Americans to identify who the enemy was. The Japanese had just bombed Pearl Harbor, and it was clear that we as a country were going to war, and it was clear who we were fighting against. The same thing could be said for the relations between the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Adversaries were clear-cut. There was no question about who the fight was against. In today's global struggles, though, friends and foes aren't quite as clear-cut as they once were. Whether or not we should even declare others as a friend or a foe isn't always even clear. It's just harder to tell who's on your side and who's against you at any given moment. Jacob wrestles with that very same problem here in our Old Testament text for today. And, of course, there are many ways to handle conflict. But let's just assume for today, for this morning in our conversation together, that when faced with an adversary, our response is going to be fight rather than to choose flight. Because those are a couple of the options that we have, right? So let's just assume for today that when faced with an adversary, going into a conflict, that we're going to choose to fight in some way. When an opponent confronts us, we square off, we prepare for battle. Some of you have probably done that on the playground before, right? Hopefully you're a little smarter than that these days, or at least wise enough to keep yourselves out of the situations that would make that sort of thing necessary. But Jacob doesn't really have a choice, does he? It's really interesting in our text today that there is nothing that indicates what led up to this wrestling match that Jacob has, which lasts the whole night long. It simply says that as Jacob was traveling along the brook Jabbok, that Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of day. It's so matter of fact, as if this was something that just happened every day. And we need to look back a little bit and see why Jacob was journeying, and why he finds himself in this place. And when we do that, we're reminded that it's because Jacob has split his camps up. He sent one way and he has gone the other way. And he's trying desperately not to have his whole entourage, his people and his flocks, destroyed by his brother Esau, who he has heard is coming after him with 400 men. And the fact that Jacob has so much, the fact that he has these flocks and these herds and these people that are traveling with him, so much so that they can be split up into two separate groups, all of that is an indication of how God has blessed Jacob so richly and so graciously. God promised to be with Jacob. He promised to protect him. But now this confrontation with his brother Esau seems inevitable. And he doesn't know at that point when he faces his brother, is he going to meet him as an adversary? Or is he going to meet him as a friend? Despite all of those promises to bless Jacob, despite all of those promises to protect him that God has given, Jacob really thinks that he's going to have to contend with his brother Esau. And the problem here is really not the fight that Jacob thinks he's going to have with his brother. The problem is that by not believing God's promise, who Jacob is actually contending with is God himself. And we could very easily find ourselves in that same position. So often, when we think that we're contending with something of this world, what we're really doing is wrestling with God. We square off, we prepare to fight against whatever it is that we think is in front of us, whatever it is that we see right there. Instead of seeking to understand how what we might be facing might just be a part of God's good and gracious will for our lives, even if it's uncomfortable in the moment. When God leads, sometimes we go where we don't think that we want to go. It's when we humbly resign and we endure all things in faith and are the most harshly tested that we begin to learn how good God's will actually is. Even when it's hidden, even when at first we can't understand it. Like Jacob, we know that in Christ, God promises to care for us. But we don't always fully trust in that promise. Instead, when we're confronted with trouble, we often hunker down and we prepare to fight that fight on our own terms, with whatever strength it is that we think we have. And the adversary in that battle might seem clear to us, but what we're often doing is wrestling against God and His will. Because when someone or something is friend or foe, whether it is or not, it isn't as easy to discern as it might seem at first. Think about all of those conflicts that are being waged in our world today. Not just the ones that are out there on foreign shores, but the ones that are in our own backyard as well. Things are not as black and white as they might at first seem, or as we'd like them to be. Every conflict has two sides, and it's not always clear which side is the right one for us to be on. And perhaps in some cases there is no right or wrong side for us to take. Perhaps some of the personal conflicts that we face aren't meant to be fought out in the way that we would like to fight them. Perhaps some of them are meant to bring us to a place of recognition that God is desiring that we would simply acquiesce to His will, that we would do what it is that He is guiding us to do. And to do that, though, we need to actually seek His will. Pray that His will would be done, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, but also pray that His will would be clear to you. And then stop fighting against it. Stop resisting. We're God's baptized people, but we sometimes wonder if God's will is the best for us. We wonder whether it's for our good, which can lead us to wonder whether or not God is our friend, or whether He's just another adversary that we have to face. Here's a hint for you. God's will is always good for you, even when it doesn't seem like it in the moment. The point is not to do what you think is right, which is often what we're taught is the highest determiner of how we should make decisions, of how we should live our lives, isn't it? Do what you think is right. Do what you think is best. That's what people will tell you. But the point here is to let God's will reign in your life. And when you do what God says is right, you are actually always going to be doing what is right. Because God's will is always right. Sometimes that situation that's before us requires us to stand up and fight, doesn't it? We can't always be passive. And there are times when we will have to make that fight. We'll have to engage in that battle. Because that opponent that's standing before us is truly our adversary. And there are many times when we know that the challenges that we face in this life are challenges brought before us by the enemy. And in those times, we have to stand up and fight. When God's word is clear, and when the fight is against those who would change it, who would demean it, who would trample on God's word, in those times we know that we are fighting against the enemy. But sometimes it's really hard for us to determine if that fight is truly coming at us from the evil one. And clearly Jacob didn't know this at first either. Who would dare to wrestle with a man all night long if he knew that it was God that he was fighting against? Jacob didn't know this in the beginning. Even as he's injured, hip put out of joint as he wrestled with him, by the simple touch of the man that he fought with, Jacob must have been thinking that this was an enemy. No one else would fight against him like this. No one else would injure him like this other than an enemy. But God is never the enemy of his faithful people. And strangely, this attacker, who obviously could have overpowered Jacob, who could have crushed him in a moment, he's the one who asked Jacob to let him go. It could only be by faith that at this point Jacob realizes that his attacker is not an adversary, but it is his friend. And not just any friend, but the best of friends. Now, wounded and defeated, Jacob asks for a blessing. He asks for God's blessing, fully recognizing and acknowledging now that this is God who he has been wrestling with. This is such a strange account, because the one who at first seemed like an adversary turns out to be the greatest friend. Sometimes that happens in our lives too. We're struggling with someone, we're fighting against them, and then somehow, in some way, we come to an agreement. And there are times when that can turn that relationship completely around, even to the point that sometimes we become the best of friends with that person that we used to be the worst of enemies. And that's exactly what happens in our relationship with God. Being sinful human beings, we can sometimes feel like God is our enemy. We face all sorts of troubles in this life. I know that we all have them. Financial difficulties, losses of jobs, marital problems, difficulties in school, even wondering whether God is going to answer those prayers that you so fervently pray. All of these are difficulties that we have. And in a way, our sinful state does put us at odds with God. It does make us the enemy. But only because that sinful state is where we decide that we want to reside. Because we're not willing to see the struggles as opportunities for God to reveal to us his good and his gracious will. We ought to have our greatest courage at that very time when evil befalls us. Because that's where God is going to share his will with us. Luther says that we can be most pleased when the most unpleasant things happen, and the most confident when hopelessness and loss come over us, because we know that is when God's will is at work, making all things perfect and working together for our good. And the thing that he desires most for us is that his people would have that type of relationship with him. The relationship that looks only to him for the resolution of all the conflict that our own sin brings into our lives. And that seeks the understanding of how his will is working for good in our lives, even when it seems like the opposite is what is happening. It's that relationship with God that will ultimately help us to acknowledge the fact that He will help us to see who the real adversary is, who it is that we really should be fighting against, and it's not Him. It's the evil one who has already been conquered by the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our truest and best friend. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And just like Jacob, sometimes it takes that gentle but powerful touch of God that at times might feel crippling to you to realize who He is and that He is totally in control. Jacob knew it as soon as his hip went out of joint. God might allow us to struggle with Him for a time, but eventually He is going to make it known who is in control, and it is Him. And He's going to make it also known to us that His will isn't going to be allowed to take second place to our will. And all that can really be humbling, can't it? But it's also so comforting to know that God is in control. And then, like Jacob, we can recognize the great privilege that we have to come before our God and to ask for His blessing. Be like Jacob and say, "I will not let go unless You bless me." How bold is that of Jacob? "I'm going to hold on to You. I'm going to keep You right here unless You bless me." But how beautiful it is too. And how appropriate a thing for God's children to be able to say, "I want to be here with You. I want to hold on to You. And I want You to bless me." It's just so wonderful. Especially when we realize how desperately we are in need of His blessing. But before God gives Jacob that blessing that he's asking for, He does something else special for him. He changes his name. And anytime we see God interacting with one of His people in the Scriptures and changing that person's name, what it is a recognition of a special relationship that that person has with God. And God says, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Sometimes the winner of the fight isn't the one who comes out looking like they have won. By all accounts, Jacob, dislocated hip and all, would seem to be the loser in this battle. But God tells him that he's prevailed, which means that winning and losing in a wrestling match with God looks a whole lot different than winning or losing in an earthly battle. Winning as we strive with God is the acknowledgement that He is fully in control. Winning is allowing His will to be done in your life. And that's perhaps the hardest thing that we can do. To let go of that control that we think that we have. But when we do, when we allow God's will to be done in our lives, what wonderful blessings He's going to give. Jacob got his blessing from God, and so do we. Without any merit or worthiness of our own, we're blessed when we lay down our will and when we confess our sins, because God is faithful and He is quick to forgive. We're blessed when we set aside our fears and our doubts and allow God's will to reign in our lives, because where His will takes us is always better than where our own will is going to take us. And we're blessed when we receive the gifts that God gives to us in His word and His sacraments, Because we understand that they are free gifts from the one who desires to give us everything that we need to strengthen us for the real fight that we must endure in this world against the one true adversary. May we recognize the devil's attempt to turn us from the Lord. And may we fight vehemently against those attempts. Even as we try our best to avoid the conflicts that stem from our own sins and our own selfishness. Because those fights, what they really are, what they truly are our stubborn will fighting against God's will. And when we recognize that that's a fight that we will only win when we embrace His will and let go of our own, we, like Jacob, will embrace and hold fast to God who is always for us and who will bless us abundantly. And when we cling to Him in faith until the end, like Jacob, we also will have the privilege of seeing our God and Savior Jesus Christ face to face in heaven. May God bless you in your wrestling. And may He remind you regularly that He was always on your side. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.